Welcome to Success Stories, brought to you by SNS Activewear. I'm your host, Marshall Atkinson, and this is the podcast that focuses on what's working so you can have success too. What if you built your business on some core positive attributes like love and sustainability? That's what Citrus Heights, California shop owner Jessica Tillery has done with her business, All Quality Graphics. She turned her background in corporate wellness into a business that is all about giving back and enriching others. On today's Success Stories podcast, get ready to feel good and learn more about how Jessica and her team are transcending the simple t-shirt into something more. So welcome to the show, Jessica. Glad to have you.
Thank you so much, Marshall. So glad to be here. That was a great intro. Thank you.
Yeah, I think you guys are doing some wonderful things, and I can't wait to have everybody learn all about it and about what makes you guys tick. It's going to be lots of fun.
I'm excited. Let's pour on the love and positivity, huh?
Yeah. So why don't we start with just the origin story, right? So let's begin by really discussing your background. So how did you involve your interests in corporate wellness, because that was your career before, into the circus of the garment decorating industry? How's that transition work?
Well, it's a long story of how I landed here. I think like most screen printers, I didn't really choose this career. It found me, and I'm certainly glad it did. I'm so grateful for it. So my degrees and my background is in sports med and corporate wellness. I spent a decade in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area, I guess, for those of you that aren't from here, doing sports med. And my last gig was at a pharmaceutical company as their director of health and wellness. And it was an awesome gig. Absolutely loved it. But I moved out to Sacramento for a relationship. And after about a year of doing that commute to the Bay, it gets pretty tiresome. To put it in perspective, it's only about an hour and a half away, but with traffic, it quickly turns into a three-hour drive. And 5 days a week, that's just not fun. I was able to eventually work remotely part of the time. And this was all pre-COVID. So back then, working from home wasn't really a thing, but I kind of made my way into that. Only was commuted a couple of days a week, but still it was growing very tiresome. And I was also traveling the world, overseeing all their North American locations and some out of the country. And it was a lot. It was tiresome. And at the time, I had partnered in on a couple delis here in California. And my partner at the time was printing on the side, mostly merch and uniforms, and then some side gigs. And I'm watching all this transpire, and I'm seeing what a cool little business that was. But things were falling through the cracks. They weren't getting done. It was not a good situation. But I saw what a need there was for it. And I knew as a wellness director how much swag I was ordering, as far as t-shirts, water bottles, branded pedometers, you name it. And I'm thinking, gosh, if I'm shelling out this much money for swag, and I know all of my colleagues in the Bay Area are, you know, that could be a pretty lucrative business. So I don't know. It called my name and I said, you know what? I'm going to go for it. Bought a little startup kit, did the Rionet startup kit, and went for it. And then a year later, business just kept coming. Bought a little commercial building. And then 3 years later, outgrew that. Bought our current building, which is a 10,000 square foot building. And here we are. Never in a million years did I think I'd be doing this for a living, but I love it.
So that all happened because you just happened to visit a shop and go, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, I mean, I was witnessing this and thinking, gosh, like, that's a really cool business, but things weren't getting done. So, and I'm thinking in my head, yeah, like we all say, that seems easy. As we learned, yeah, it's not easy.
T-shirt printing, how hard could it be?
Right. Oh, a lot more to it than I thought, that's for sure.
So what was the most surprising thing for you at that stage back then? What do you think?
You know, the first year, I mean, it's full of learning lessons. Like you said, you think it's going to be easy and it's not. I mean, the science of it, all the technicalities, it's a lot. But what I did find, I was surprised by how much work there is out there. I mean, it just keeps coming and coming. And I think we all see that nobody's competitors. There's enough work to go around. And if you're doing a good job, it'll just keep coming. So the growth really shocked me. I was skeptical and I was scared. And I honestly, I kept my corporate job for a full year and did both because I didn't want to give up the stability, the benefits, the 401k, all the good stuff, a great salary. So it took me over a year to truly take the plunge, but eventually it kind of proved itself. And so I went for it.
Yeah, sooner or later, you got to rip the bandaid off and just jump in with both feet.
It's scary, but yeah, you got to do it.
And so your shop now is how many presses use Plastisol, water-based? What type of work do you do?
So we have two autos. We have a Rock 1012 Next and then a Workhorse. We also do embroidery. We have 9 heads of embroidery, and then we have a few direct-to-garment printers. And we are pretty much fully Plastisol, which I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for that since we're going to talk about sustainability. But I think you and I both know that Plastisol still is very sustainable. So we can talk.
Water-based ink is being sustainable, to me, is a myth. So we're going to get into that because I think a lot of people, just because it has the word water in it, think it's better. And I know it's not. But let's save that for a minute.
Perfect.
Yeah. And so you've been in business how long now?
9 years.
9 years. 9 years. That's great. And post-COVID, things are blowing up for you?
Yeah, we've been very, very busy. Thank goodness. It just keeps coming and coming. We did have a couple rough years there with COVID, but it honestly was a great time for us to kind of restructure, reorg, and really build a better platform for ourselves.
Right, right. And so let's talk about, who are your ideal customers? So if you think about, you know, we're building a business plan, we're building a marketing plan, we want to aim our business at our ideal customers. Who are those folks for you?
Construction companies, hands down, is our ideal customer. We kind of consider that our niche. We go after construction companies. And as you know, they're just flying through workwear, polos, hats, safety vests, t-shirts. So it's an easy repeat customer. And obviously easy little one color prints most of the time. So that is definitely our niche. But we do everything. We do a lot of B2B, a lot of organizations, churches, a lot of event shirts. We have learned over the years that sports is not really our thing. We started out doing all the little leagues, all the sports teams, and we have slowly been able to say no to all of that, which is so, so nice. So we're really able to kind of turn away customers and be picky with who we want, which has been such a blessing.
I think it's really important that shops really know where their bread is buttered and stick to that. And so many people say yes to the wrong stuff, and their schedule is filled with low profit, busy work, or work for clients that just are horrible people or whatever. And you don't even know why you're taking that job, but you do it anyway. So I like the idea that, you know, you're sticking to your guns and you really know who you're going after and you say no to folks. That's really good to hear.
For sure. We've gotten so much smarter over the years and our work-life balance is much, much better. Rarely are we doing overtimes and stressing out over things. So it's been nice.
I think the secret to this business is to try to work half as hard for twice as much,
for sure. And it honestly starts with saying no. Saying no and higher minimums has really saved us.
Right, right. Well, what is your minimum?
It is 30 for one color, 50 for a multi. But I honestly think we're about to raise it to 50 for one color, 100 for a multicolor.
Yeah, I know a shop, their minimum's 144.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got an 80-piece job. Sorry, that's down the street. This is what I do.
Yep.
So that's, I think, having some sort of rules, some guardrails in place and sticking to them is just a really nice way of building your business. And, of course, that helps you with your marketing also, because you're not chasing that 36-piece order. You know, if your minimum is 144, you know the type of customers that you have to go after to at least get to your minimum.
Absolutely.
And so let's talk about the daily life in your shop for a minute. You know, your hours, how your people work, how you do your schedule, how you do all that kind of stuff.
So we run 4-10s. We only work Tuesday through Friday, which has been awesome. We took a vote a couple years ago if we wanted to run 5 days a week or move to 4-10s, and it was unanimous. Everybody was like, yes, I'll take a 3-day weekend. And we found that we're much more productive. It really increased productivity. I think boosted morale a bit. Everybody comes back refreshed from a 3-day weekend. So our typical time is 7 a.m. for most of staff. However, our production team gets here at 6 a.m. And then, so they run 6 to 4:30 and our office staff runs 7 to 5:30.
Okay. And I saw on your website, you're closed Monday. I mean, is like absolutely nobody's there, or is that like a catch-up day for some people?
It's a catch-up day. We run some overtime on those days, and then we're doing some direct-to-garment fulfillment. So typically we run that on Mondays, but for the most part, it's a pretty lean staff or no staff at all on Mondays.
And I love that. And so your crew voting on when they want to work, it sounds like they're really engaged. And I think that's a big problem we have in this industry is our work staff sometimes they're just clock punchers. They're just here for the paycheck, you know, that type of stuff. And it sounds like you've got a really good culture there.
I would like to say so. I'm huge on culture. And I mean, we're like a big family around here and I want them to love coming to work every single day. So their buy-in is so important to me. I can honestly say, I think that we are like a big family and it's not just punching the clock.
Like what you hear so far? Be sure to subscribe so you can get the latest from Success Stories. And now here's Devin Freet with the SNS Spotlight.
Learning more about trends, eye-catching decoration techniques, and unique apparel styles is the key to adding more value to your clients' orders. On our YouTube series, Decoration Miss, we're teaching you all that and more. By taking on challenging placements, products, and misconceptions about decorating, we'll show you that those hurdles are just opportunities to deliver something elevated and unique to your clients. So, if you're having trouble on the press or looking for some decoration inspiration, check out Decoration Miss on the SNS Activewear YouTube channel. Thanks for listening.
So, let's talk about your Love Unstoppable movement. Call that Loom Blum. Why do you pronounce that?
We call it Loom, which doesn't make any sense because it should be pronounced Lum, I guess, L-U-M. But it is a love and faith-based quarterly t-shirt subscription. And really, it was birthed out of a desire to make a difference in our industry and in our community. So after being in this industry for a few years and kind of feeling pretty established, I just knew, I'm like, gosh, there's got to be a way to give back. And it just occurred to me to do a t-shirt subscription. And I knew I wanted it to have a spiritual and a charitable impact as well as environmental and humanitarian. So when I met the guys at All Made, I was instantly intrigued. And the fact that they're using, you know, 6 recycled bottles. Now everybody's doing that, but I must say All Made was kind of the paved the way, I feel. So just really impressed by their environmental impact and then the stuff they were doing in Haiti at the time, now in Honduras, and just their vibe and the passion behind it. I was instantly attracted to it. And I'm like, that's something I want to push. That's something I want to incorporate into my own culture with my customers, with this movement. And then I really want to just put out a positive message. So every t-shirt each quarter has something super powerful, positive, a good message that is meant to uplift people and really just spread love. So the whole goal was for people to get a package on their doorstep that was going to lift them up and be a walking billboard for positivity. And it's been great. We've been able to touch a lot of lives with it. We, now that we're quarterly, we partner with a charity each quarter. So this past quarter, for instance, we partnered with St. John's Program for Women and Children for Change. And our logo was Be a Lighthouse, Not a Tugboat. And you may have heard this through other industry podcasts. I paired up with Richard Teeley on that particular one. And he's actually the one that gave me that slogan through a random conversation. And we poured that into this charity and it was incredible to see the hearts that were touched and the things that came out of it. So one gal in particular who had been homeless with a little 3-year-old daughter and had been kind of down and out with abuse for a decade, she got a hold of this slogan. The people at St. John's actually asked her, hey, what does this phrase mean to you and how does it pertain to your journey? And she wrote this incredible 2-page letter of what it meant to her. And I mean, it was so, so good. I read it just sobbing. And to see what that did, the power behind this little t-shirt slogan was incredible. So she went on to read that letter and speak at their gala, which had 600 people at it. And then through that and through my interactions with them out at St. John's, they learned that she also could sing. I was talking to her one day and I'm like, oh my goodness, is that your voice on that video? And she's like, yeah, so she could sing. So the people at St. John's invited her to sing at their most recent fundraiser, which had 700 people. She sang with a Broadway star from New York and just brought the house down. And it was incredible. And we're talking about a gal that was 6 months ago was homeless, who was completely lost and then got this slogan and it gave her the confidence to speak up. And then it gave her the confidence to get on stage and sing. And not taking credit for it at all, but it was amazing to see what a t-shirt can do and what doors that open and what it turned into. So we're seeing a lot of that, these little magical moments that are inspired from a t-shirt, and they're just moving. And that's why I always say it's not just a t-shirt, it's a movement.
Holy smokes, that's the coolest story I think I've ever heard.
It was unreal. And if you get a chance, go on our Instagram and check her out. We even have little clips of her singing that night. I mean, it's unbelievable. And we've gotten so many messages and testimonials from that program and from some of the gals there just saying like, look, you have changed our lives. Like, this t-shirt, this momentum that you brought into our program has really been the strength to keep us here and keep us going. And I mean, it's unreal. It's so cool. So it's really cool for me to see what God is doing through us and through a t-shirt.
So no pressure for the next one.
Right? I know. For our next one, we just finished up an event actually 2 weeks ago. And that for that one, we were fundraising for, we had been following this sweet guy, this awesome boy in our community, Miles, who had been battling brain cancer. And unfortunately, he just lost his battle. But we're really pouring into the family now. So trying to not only help them monetarily, but emotionally lifting them up with different messages. And so that's what our current t-shirt is for. But it's these things that we're able to give back and actually be boots on the ground in our community, communicate with these families and these people. And it's awesome to see us use the resources that we have here in-house, like amazing designers, you know, talented crew printing the stuff. And then being able to fulfill that and deliver that into our community, it's so rewarding. It makes it all worth it. And truly, that's what makes me realize, okay, this is why I'm supposed to be in this industry. This is why I went from sports medicine to this.
And how do you pick your next thing? There must be so many different things that you could get involved in. How do you narrow it down to one per quarter?
There's so many. Truly, I pray on it and I just kind of, whatever comes to me or kind of tugs at my heart or someone on our team's heart. And then we talk about it and we go for it. We do have it planned out. So next year's quarters, we've decided, okay, Q1, we want to focus on mental health because it's suicide awareness prevention month. And so we kind of map it out like that. And then we focus on women and children or whatever it is. We have it mapped out. However, there's been times we've pivoted because I'm like, wait a minute, this just happened down the road in our community and we need to pour into this family. So that's what happened in this last one with Miles. It's like, man, this little boy, his story was incredible. His tenacity, it was unreal. So it was a no-brainer that this is where we want our funds to go. And this is where we want our time and energy to go.
So you have an online store for that, obviously. Is it a subscription though, right?
So it's a quarterly subscription for the t-shirt every 3 months. However, we also have a swag shop on our website and there you can get hoodies, beanies, different products. And this quarter, we actually launched 2 specialty hoodies that will go towards that family. Mm-hmm. So it just kind of is whatever's on our heart, whatever we feel, you know, is appropriate for that quarter, we'll throw it on there.
Right. And so because it's a subscription service, I know from talking with Justin Lawrence with Oklahoma Shirt Company, the difficulties of doing that. He was doing it monthly, right? Probably quarterly is probably easier to get out than a monthly thing. But you still have to like design, get it out, get it printed, get it shipped, do the whole thing. So somebody right now is listening, Jessica, and maybe they have been tinkering on with the idea about doing a subscription service. What advice would you give them to kind of like get started and, you know, not make that mistake that you made early on? Kind of advice would you give?
It's tough. And I know Justin Lawrence feels my pain. We actually started out as monthly and did that for a while. And it's so much work. But it's such a quick turn that by the time you get it all solidified and start production, it's time to start on the next month. So it was too much. It didn't give us enough time to be creative and really pour into one cause. So switching to quarterly has been such a relief. It's really allowed us to actually really pour into it. So I would say for anybody doing subscriptions, monthly is brutal. I mean, depending what it is, but if we're talking t-shirts and fulfillment, it's brutal to try to keep up with that monthly. Quarterly model's been great. And honestly, who knows where this will lead? I'm just kind of letting it be organic growth and let it do what it does. But I wouldn't be surprised if this turns more into just kind of a clothing brand, which never in a million years did I want a clothing brand or do I really encourage clothing brands because they're so tough? But I kind of see it evolving in that direction because we're getting a lot of requests for different gear and garments. And I kind of see it going in that direction, which will be much more manageable. But of course, there's pros and cons to both, right?
So for past quarters of stuff, can you go to your website and buy something from last year?
Not for the quarterly subscription shirts. There are a few. If we had extras, we have them on there. So there are a few select sizes that are still available, but it's pretty few and far between. But we do keep some of our staple, like signature sweatshirts and sweatpants, just with the traditional Loom logo, which I have on here. So yeah, that's all on there regularly.
Okay. So that's really cool. I love what you're doing with that. And I love the fact that it's making such a huge impact. And there's people out there right now who are like, man, I want to do that where I live. So
yeah, I mean, I just encourage people to use their resources. We have such cool things at our fingertips. So just get out and give back. And it doesn't have to be such an extravagant or as much as a subscription-based anything, but just use your resources to give back. And honestly, even for just us in-house for our team, it's just a way for us to unite too and be able to get out and use our resources to bless others.
Yeah, I've been a part of a couple of really big things in my career. Like when I was working at Visual Impressions, we did the shirts for Boston Strong. That was my company that did that, right? And that's where that whole thing happened. So it was just an amazing, you couldn't believe the sales that came in for that. It was such a powerful thing and couldn't believe it. I'm still shocked that I was even part of that because that was the bombing at the Boston Marathon and our company was based in Milwaukee and we did the shirts for that and that started that whole movement. And just being part of that and seeing the success and giving all that money to all those people to help them with their medical bills and stuff was such a huge, awesome thing to be a part of. I kind of understand what you're talking about with yours a little bit, right?
So yeah, that's so powerful and how rewarding too. And I bet it really united your staff too, just to be behind something so powerful.
Well, you know, what was crazy about that was, you know, I've done a lot of hot market stuff for like the Super Bowl, whatever, and you might have the TV station filming, okay? At one point, I think we had four or five TV trucks in our parking lot from different stations, all there, like doing newscasts from our shop.
I bet. That's so cool.
It was crazy. Yeah. All right. So let's shift into the last question today, which is all about sustainability. And we alluded to that earlier in the show. So I want to talk about what you're doing to make your shop more sustainable. What is sustainability and how would you define that, right? And then how are you doing it to make your business better?
Yeah, so I'm certainly not the queen of sustainability. I don't claim to be that. But for us, sustainability really is just doing more with less. So less downtime, less errors, more orders out the door, using state-of-the-art equipment and well-trained staff, and really just doing our best. So for me, if you know better, you're going to do better. We don't claim to know everything or do everything sustainably, but we do the things we know, we absolutely incorporate. So for us, I mean, we recycle our boxes. This is kind of cool. I have a friend in the landscape business. So he comes and picks up our recycled boxes and he uses them to lay down. Instead of laying down plastic, he puts them in the flower beds. Mm-hmm. And so he's been taking tons and tons of boxes from us, which feels really good to know that it's actually like truly being recycled and reused. We've done all the little things like changing out the LED lights in our office and our warehouse, switching to that. Moving to CTS, not using films anymore so we can expose faster and get jobs on the press faster. Cleanliness is huge for us. Trying to keep things clean and not make errors so that we're not repeating. Gosh, there's just so much. There's so much to it. But I think one of our biggest things is really using great products and state-of-the-art equipment so that you're not having errors that are caused by just old rundown equipment or not using the right stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, and there's so much more we can do, I'm sure. But the stuff we're aware of, like I said, we try to do our best to stay on top of that.
That's great. And we mentioned plastisol versus water-based earlier. So let's tackle that thorny subject.
Oh, we're going to get a lot of flack for this, but I'm glad I have you on my side. And I know you do all your homework and research. And so it feels good to have you validate the way I feel about it.
Well, you know, here's the thing is that sustainability is all about reducing waste. Mm-hmm. And my issues with water-based ink is the fact that it dries in the screen. It's got a certain shelf life, requires more energy to cure. It requires different set of emulsions and different things that, you know, just to get the thing to work, right? It also, you got a double stroke, right? So you can't get the opacity that you want like you can with Lastisol. So you're using twice the product. So there's, you know, just that part of it right there. Plus, you know, it's not drain safe. You can't just shove it down the sink.
Right.
Okay? It's not as green, organic friendly as you think it is, right? Right. And Lastisol, to me, unless your building's on fire, you can use ink from 3 years ago, okay? Because it cures at 320 or low cure at 270, right? So it's going to be good for a long time. And you're done with the job. You can scrape it back into the ink bucket and you can use that color purple 10 months from now with no problem. So to me, that's why I like Plastisol better. And people say, well, you can get, it's all about the hand. Well, you know, try using high mesh screens. Okay. High mesh screens, and you can add a little bit of curable reducer or something. And I can make a Plastisol print feel just like a water-based print not a whole lot of problem. Right. So I like water-based ink. I know water-based ink companies, whatever. But if on the sustainability part of it, right, I'm a little different animal on that. So
agree 100%. I'm glad you said like with the mesh counts and then, and we also use the Hydro Blaster for our reclaiming. So it has a really good filtration system that I feel confident catching a lot of stuff. And it's, you know, that's more about the vision. But
at one point I was on the board of directors for the Sustainable Green Printing Partnership, which I highly recommend to get your certification. That's sgppartnership.org. And anybody that needs more information or needs some help with that, I'm happy to help. And I've really looked at a lot of stuff. I like to use bioremediation for cleaning up your squeegees and flood bars, which is the actual microbe that eats the Plastisol ink. It's engineered. It's the same microbe they use out in the ocean when they have an oil spill, because Plastisol, you know, is petroleum based. And I love the fact that you guys are reusing your boxes and you're using equipment and automation to reduce waste. Waste is a big part of sustainability. And let me ask you this. Are you guys tracking with data your metrics on the tonnage that you're recycling or different things that you're doing in your shop so you have data to back up sustainability claims if anybody asks?
You know, we track a lot of things, but I don't think we're tracking the actual boxes that go out or anything like that. But we are tracking downtime, that sort of stuff. So
okay.
Yes and no.
That's good. All right, you know, and by the way, we can recycle a lot of things in the shop. We can recycle old electronics like phones and computers, batteries, hydraulic fluid, paper, of course, glass, scrap metal, light bulbs, you know, all types of stuff can be recycled. It's not just soda cans and water bottles, right? For sure. So there's a lot of stuff that we could be reusing. So anyway, I recommend to anybody that's really interested in sustainability. I've written about it in several things, but you can Google, also go to sgppartnership.org. You know, they're funded in part by Printing United, so they get some money from them. And it's such a good thing to do to get that certification. I've actually championed two shops through that process, and it's a lot of work. But it's worth it because you can use that as a sales tool to say that you're a sustainable certified printer.
Yeah, right? I love that. I'm definitely going to look into that.
And like one thing you could do just thinking of it is instead of paper towels in the bathroom, get a Dyson Airblade, right? So you're no longer using paper, you know, stuff like that. It's all over. It's all over your shop. You just have to like think about ways that you can do things better and investigate. So
for sure.
Do you guys have a sustainability committee?
We do. So we had a manager who was kind of in charge of sustainability and safety. He actually, I'm glad you brought this up because this is going to inspire me. He left us a few months ago. So we need to put somebody else in charge of that initiative and really push that. So I'm glad we're having this conversation because that's going to inspire me to put that at the top of the list.
Well, maybe we should talk after the call and I can help you out with some ideas on that. So
that'd be awesome. Appreciate it.
I'm not interested in the job, but I could.
Oh, come on. You're only in Arizona. You're not too far. Yeah.
All right. Well, cool. So what's next for you in 2023? What are you looking forward to?
Oh, gosh. I'm just excited to see where business takes us. Obviously, I'm very passionate and fired up about Loom, our movement. So excited to see that grow and see what that brings for us as a team. I think we will be doing a bit more digital in 2023. So we'll see where that goes. But as of now, I don't have any really concrete plans, but there are a lot of things in the works. So we'll see what happens.
Have you looked at the whole DTF movement?
Oh, yeah. How can you not? It's everywhere.
I think that's a whole nother show, but right? It's very interesting to me. And I think especially with online stores using transfers is completely sustainable because we're only decorating what's been ordered instead of printing inventory and hope something sells. So
right.
I really like that part about it. So. All right. Well, hey, Jessica, thank you so much for sharing your story of success with us today. If someone wants to learn more about what you do or maybe how you can help them, what is the best way to contact you?
You can check us out on our website, which is allqualitygraphics.com, or find us on Instagram at allqualitygraphics or LU_movement.
Awesome sauce. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you.
Thank you, Marshall. It's fun to talk shop. You're a wealth of knowledge. So I appreciate everything you're doing for the industry.
Thanks. See ya.
See ya.
Well, that's our show today. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to subscribe so you can stay up to date on the latest Success Stories episodes. Have any suggestions for future guests or topics? Send them my way at marshall@marshallatkinson.com. And we'll see you next time.